Hello, Stargazers. Welcome to 7th House Astrology, where I take any topic that's astrological or any topic that's related to relationships and romance. I investigate under the lens of Synastry Astrology, otherwise known as Love or Relationship Astrology. I am your host, Sandra Misek, and I'm so glad that you guys have joined me for today. So, as promised, the sun, as of the 19th of April, so it's very early this year, had shifted from the compassionate and very spiritual sign of Pisces into Aries. So we know what that means. That means it's time for the chart of the moment, Aries edition. And I can find no better way to introduce this than with Mercury retrograde, which started on April the 1st. It's supposed to be retrograde until April the 20th. So a good week and a half to 2 weeks, knowing Mercury kind of, it's supposed to be like the fastest sign in retrograde. So kind of the fastest to come into it, the fastest to leave. But I'm sorry, between now and April the 20th, it's a little more than 1.5 weeks there. So, but until that time, we're kind of relearning, rethinking, re-evolving. I'm just kind of wondering with you stargazers, and please feel free to reach out to my email address at misek.sandra@gmail.com or at my Instagram page at sandra.misek. But how are you guys surviving this retrograde season? I know personally, it has sucked for me. So far, it has not been so good. And here I am. I've been like preparing myself for it and, you know, forecasting it since about last month. And yeah, it's been a doozy of a planetary situation up there. And when the heavens like to throw a curveball, man, they throw a wallop of one. So this is coming right in time. Next week will be the solar eclipse on the 8th, which is also going to produce some changes. As mentioned in the solar eclipse episode, most of the time with solar eclipses, the usual interpretation is that it actually opens up doors and opens up opportunities, or you kind of find the themes as to which house it resides in, or the sort of themes that are going to play out and evolve in your life. So definitely see where Aries hits your chart. And also, again, too, the fact that it's in Aries at this point, we're going to see a lot of Aries themes such as, you know, set your goals, pursue the goals with tenacity, don't let go, have some, move through life with purpose and with drive. Sometimes the shadow sides of this is obviously hot tempered, impatient. I've been seeing with this Mercury retrograde cycle in Aries as well, people being impulsive, especially behind the wheel. So definitely, stargazers, please be careful at this time. Not everyone is as I'm hoping everyone's watching the road, that they're driving responsibly. But with this retrograde season, especially being in Aries, everyone else is really not necessarily doing the same. And I've seen some near miss accidents. I've had to use my horn at least 20 times already. So really just be careful out there all the way around within this retrograde season. And hopefully that I think right now what's occurring is that the archetypes of Aries are really kind of playing themselves out, you know, really like the epitome of them. And I think that's because Mercury is in that process of moving backwards. And it does so when it moves backwards, it's not like it goes all the way through a sign in one day. It's like it'll move a couple degrees backwards and then it'll stop, and then it'll move a couple more degrees backwards and then it'll stop. So I think it's like it's getting its headway right now with moving backwards. But I'm thinking with, you know, later on, I'm just hoping that it starts to slow down with that backward motion. and that there's more stopping and pausing as opposed to going backwards. And then maybe everybody starts to go inwards and really reflect on what does purpose and drive really mean when it comes not only to your chart, but also what Aries means too, due to your sign. For me personally, I've had to wrestle because it's opposite my moon sign. So it's in my moon sign's also conjunct my Pluto sign, as well as my, Saturn sign, which is all in Libra. So right now, all these planets are exactly opposite to Mercury retrograde. And then as if that's enough, I also have a Mars square in all of this. So talk about major, losing my cool for sure, especially in traffic. So I've had to reevaluate how to see Mercury retrograde in relation. So instead of just, oh my God, it's in opposition to my moon. Oh my God, this is horrible. You know, as I've always said, oppositions, usually we kind of compartmentalize by accident when it comes to oppositions. So finding what's similar, not only between the two signs, but also maybe finding what's similar between the planetary alignments that are at play here. So like what's similar between Mercury retrograde and my moon. It's a lot about going inward, especially with Mercury retrograde. So if you guys are like me and you're kind of suffering, or it's kind of hitting your planetary angles at a bad angle, I know that's certainly for me. Definitely reevaluate what you might need to work with when it comes to communication, when it comes to pursuing goals, when it comes to pursuing dreams. Maybe you might be too faint when it comes to goals, or you might be too dreamy when it comes to goals. I know I've been guilty of both. Or maybe, you've been meaning to, and you've been procrastinating on goals, or you've been procrastinating on, achieving your dreams. And this is a good time to reflect as to how to reverse that, perhaps, and maybe just do the opposite. I know when it comes to traffic, I've had to think about traffic a bit differently because no matter what I do, I can't avoid red lights. And no matter what I do, I can't avoid the surge of people who are on the roads right now. It's beyond my control. So definitely revamping that and coming to different answers and different ways to cope are kind of my methods right now. And I think relationship-wise too, really rethinking how we pursue our relationships, not only our goals and relationships, but how we are pursuing our relationships. Are we too timid? Are we standing in the sidelines while the crush of our dreams is out in the world meeting somebody else, being prone to having somebody else meet that person and then stealing our true, to where we feel our true love's being stolen away? Or are we too fierce? We like somebody and we approach them a little fiercely. Either way, with Mercury retrograde, we're going to be rethinking about how we're even attacking, and I don't know if this is the right word, the attacking, how we're attacking or how we're pursuing the ones we love, and I think this applies to not only marriages, but also just relationships as a whole too, how we're truly expressing ourselves to the ones we love. Do we take it for granted that someone's around, or are we actively, engaging with the ones we love every day? Are we afraid that we're going to lose somebody? And if so, how can we be a little less afraid when it comes to relationships or when it comes to those relationships? These are really big active questions that are going on with Mercury retrograde at this point. So the next time you want to shake your finger, your fist at technology, by the way, you're not alone, guilty as charged here. But the next time you want to shake your fist at technology, or the next time that you want to shake your fist that you're stuck in a traffic jam that wasn't anticipated, maybe just, like I said again, rethink as to what this transit is really speaking for you and how to reprocess, maybe how to reprocess the transit that is currently occurring. Now, with this chart of the moment for this this particular season, Aries. So this month, especially the beginning, we're kind of seeing a little bit of an equal top heaviness between two signs, as a matter of fact. So we have the Sun North Node, as well as Chiron in Aries. And we also have Mercury retrograde occurring in Aries. So at least like four planetary transits there. And then we also have Saturn conjunct Venus. We have Mars. We have Neptune. And, well, actually looking at this again, just Neptune, you know, so it's Neptune, this Venus, Saturn, that are also in Pisces at this time. So we have equal heavy Aries as well as Piscean energy within this season. So I kind of see this as not being a very typical Aries season, in the regard that we're balancing two semi-squared signs, within the season when it comes to relationships. But I think what's going to be occurring in relationships, so the Sun in Aries is indicating a shift from being really romantic, exploring the spiritual in relationships, to actually being far more upfront, far more bold, sometimes bordering on brash. I do know of an Aries in my life right now. I know of a couple of them, actually. And I kind of feel like with the season, especially with Mercury retrograde right now, the brashness is somewhat coming out. Although Aries, you know, you're also very loyal. And also, like I said, I admire with how you're able to make your dreams a reality, in all honesty. And I love your drive, enthusiasm, and your energy as well, too. But in relationships, we're moving into being far more bold and maybe saying like, hey, I want to go to the opera, you know, instead of, well, how about the opera? Like what we're seeing in Pisces season, it's more like, we're going to the opera. We're going to go tonight. Don't tell me no, because I've been wanting to do this for yada, 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 you know, and yeah, like I said, it's far more direct. I always say that this is actually the season where crushes are going to be coming out. And what I mean by this is if someone has either had a crush on you or you have had a crush on someone else, you're going to spill the beans to that person. You're going to meet that person. You're going to spill the beans with that person. You're going to reveal how much you adore that individual. Or if you feel like someone's been crushing on you, same thing. Aries is actually considered to be I feel it's a manifesting season. It is up there with Taurus, with the manifestation, where Taurus is more like manifestation is one step at a time. And we'll be seeing more of that next month. Aries is more, manifestation as, you know, go for your goal. You know, the person who came up with Just Do It, the slogan for Nike, I wouldn't be surprised if they have a lot of Aries in their chart, or if they are an Aries, you know, Sun is in Aries in their chart as well, because that's a very Aries slogan as well too, an Aries mantra. Just do it. Just go out there. Just do it. Go out in life. Pursue. You know, don't just dream. Pursue. Go out there and aim high and achieve the whatever you aim for. Achieve the results. So for relationships, especially, like I said, for crushes, manifestation, I think, is a good theme for this. It's time when that love is going to manifest. I think also relationships-wise, we're all going to be so honest and upfront with each other that where we want to head within a relationship is also going to be what we manifest. So if you have had ideas for your relationship and you think that that's a really, you know, what the theories that you've been pursuing is a good idea to, you know, strengthen the health of your relationship. This season, it's going, you know, Aries is kind of challenging you to say, go do it. You know, go, don't just read about the theory, actually go pursue it as much as you possibly can. And yeah, I think also the same with friendships as well too. You know, if there's a friend or you want somebody to join your friendship group, or if you think that somebody's a great friend, it, you know, the friendship is going to be more forthcoming within this season. And especially with the North Node and Chiron being in Aries right now, our inclination the last couple of months has been to hold back. You know, it's not very polite to be very aggressive. It's not very polite to be upfront. And so we're kind of like minding the P's and Q's. This is the particular season where we're doing away with the P's and Q's. You know, go forth, go manifest. And even with Mercury retrograde, you know, looking within ourselves to see how we can manifest and go forward a bit better will be, you know, like I said, that's while we're kind of muddled with the effects of Mercury retrograde just starting right now. If we continue to look inward, you know, what we clearly want in our lives will be a little more clear and a little bit more forthcoming as well too. And I think what we do want, where we want our lives to head, is really going to be a key theme in how to overcome the shyness or the shell, if you may, the shell of like a turtle or a turtle with its shell. How to like throw the shell away and move forward, I think is going to be a main key theme in relationships and otherwise. As long as your relationship goals are peaceful, move forward, pursue forward. You know, don't be shy, pursue forward. That's what this season is really going to be advocating. On the other end of the spectrum, we also have a top heaviness in Pisces. So the romanticism, indulging in fantasy in relationships, really indulging in the spirituality of love has really never left us. So that's still here to stay. Right now, I'm not really surprised that a lot of couples are diving into things like the Golden Lotus or sexual kung fu. Yes, there is such a thing. I know it's like, really? Sexual kung fu? Is there such a thing? And there is, very much so. Tantra. But I'm not surprised that many couples are diving into really esoteric forms of sexuality and really esoteric forms of sensuality when it comes to expressing intimacy and love right now. That I feel is the Piscean energy that we're feeling, where it's really kind of revealing the spirituality of not only sensuality, but also of how to be really far more present and really in line, also really fully focused on the person that you love more than anything. Because I think, you know, especially within the 21st century, it's very hard to stay in the moment with your partner. It's very hard to stay, you know, unless you're, you know, first blush, you're going on the first date, you kind of have the first couple of months together with somebody. It's kind of the honeymoon bliss. And then, or it's kind of the new, you know, beginner's luck. And then, right when you get into the relationships, that's where it gets tougher and tougher to be fully present with the person that you care about or the person that you're with. So really exploring those themes, like maybe the tantra of, you know, not only kissing your partner, but maybe even the tantra of, you know, being in the present moment with your partner, or the, you know, sexual kung fu aspect that also works with being in a cafe with your partner, in a restaurant with your partner. Those are things that are also going to resurface, as well as, you know, again, placating towards fantasy in the relationship. So if someone's been dreaming that they like Mr. Darcy or Mr. Knightley in their life, maybe encompassing a little bit of that in your relationship, or vice versa. Somebody is looking for Jessica Rabbit mixed in with Betty Boop, you know, maybe encompassing a little bit of that in your romantic life. I also think with Pisces too, it's a lot about using your intuition. So this month, I think there's going to be a lot of aha epiphany moments with your partner. It's like you'll be thinking about your partner and then suddenly, hey, this partner's favorite band is playing in your town. Or, you know, you're thinking about your partner and then this event that really is aligned towards your partner, or even like, and it's not just with partners too, like with your friend, like say that you're thinking about your friend and then suddenly this event that's in line with your friend's interests, you know, starts to pop up. And what I usually say is like, if you're starting to think of, you know, maybe we should go to the sheep shearing festival this year. I know my friend so-and-so, she really loves to knit. Or, you know, Pearl Jam's coming into town again, throwing things off the top of my head. But Pearl Jam's coming into town and my significant other and also lover also loves Pearl Jam. So, you know, hey, what a perfect opportunity. What I would just say is if you feel like it's the right move, like to buy tickets to that Pearl Jam concert or to buy tickets to attend that sheep shearing festival, by all means, follow the intuition. Because 9 times out of 10, I can tell you from experience, following those spidey senses are going to lead to a good, if not 100% success, at least a good 95 to 99%. Success rate that the other person is going to really enjoy, and that the event that you had planned was perfect, or what you had thought of for your significant other or for your friend is perfect. So definitely a lot of intuitive process is going to be playing out when it comes to relationships. And again, listen to that intuition. It may lead you to something that might be far-fetched, but you might just have that spidey sense, that inclination of this might be perfect for my significant other. This might be perfect for my friend, or might be perfect for the person with whom I'm crushing on and want to take them out to a really impressive first date. So speaking of Pisces, we actually have a couple of conjunctions and a couple of transitory positions that are kind of interesting for this month. So first off, with Neptune being in Pisces, I kind of had written down dreams and thoughts for manifesting are really very real at this time. I know ever since that when we started Aries season, I had like some ideas that just kind of came out of left field that I can kind of feel are kind of intuitive, but I'm looking into it. And I mean, even if you're not like directly acting on it, or you can't directly act on it, at least doing some research and development at this time is really good. But again, keep that pad of paper and a pen for those ideas so that you can do some R&D, look into it and see if it's something that, you know, is really true to you and something that you would like to explore. With Neptune, it is actually sextile. That would be sextile Pluto. And with this aspect in mind, I mean, I did a little bit of research into the historical period. Normally, it just marked times where spirituality was at an all-time high. Especially within the Age of Enlightenment in the 1800s, spiritualism or like a spirit, well, I don't think it's spiritualism, but, you know, holding seances, holding, you know, getting into the spiritual aspects of, you know, the life after death. I think it was also, I'm forgetting her name, but she was huge in the theosophy, world. And I'm, like I said, I'm still blanking out on her name. I probably will remember next episode. But, you know, she was very big and very popular at this time. But I think with Pluto sextile Neptune at this time, intuition, again, so the matters of intuition, matters of spirituality will definitely increase that much more. So the spirituality of Pisces that I'd mentioned with Pisces, you know, where we're kind of exploring how to reconnect with our partners, that's also going to increase that much more. Except with Pluto's aspects, it's really looking deep into the theories, like looking deep into Tantra, looking deep into the sexual Kung Fu, or looking deep into the Golden Lotus, and really kind of extracting the truth, you know, like kind of coming up and expressing the truth about what relationships really mean to different individuals, or what it really means for us. And it's not just necessarily, you know, the old fashioned notion of, hey, you're a man, she's a woman, smash together. You know, it's really more along the lines of, okay, I'm in a relationship. How do I really fully connect with my partner? What is a true way to connect with my partner? What is a truthful way to connect with my partner as well? What is also a irresistible way to connect with my partner? And these sort of questions will be arising, and there's going to be a lot of playing with this transit and its many, many themes that are involved. I should know with the increased intuition and also focus on spirituality. It's kind of this aspect is in my chart, and I've had an increased, you know, interest in spirituality since I was 14, looking at diverse, different arrays in the metaphysics. And I think, really that's been playing true, for my life all the way out even into here. I wouldn't have gotten into astrology were it not for the metaphysical scene back in the 1990s, mid-1990s. So, you know, we kind of see a little bit of the spiritual playing out in relationships, especially. So another aspect is Venus conjunct Saturn also being in Pisces. So this one's a little bit of a doozy. Venus in Pisces usually indicates a higher amount of compassion, you know, a higher amount of, you know, kind of a softer, more romantic relationship to play out, you know, also considering the feelings and the themes of the partner involved. And to have this with a conjunct of Saturn in there, it just, you know, knowing how platonic Pisces can be in relationships, it kind of, the first thing that struck me about the Saturn conjunct was, you know, maybe how, you know, maybe, you know, in relationships, you're willing to be platonic, you're willing to be on a friendly level, you want to get to know one another, take the old fashioned route of getting to know one another before moving forward. And there's a party in the relationship who might be pretending to go along with you, but really, in essence, they're not going along with you. It seems like that they're trying to coerce you into what they're dreaming of or what they want out of the relationship. I've been in these sort of situations before in my 20s where it's like, yeah, let's be on a platonic level. And normally that other, I've been in that position where that other person's like, nope, I want you forever. And they kind of play along with being in the platonic realm until they're kind of striking to get what they want. Most of those relationships, by the way, for me personally, dissolved. You know, I broke it off. They dissolved. They're no longer in the picture because of the dishonesty of the other person, which it is, you know, to kind of play along and then try to coerce somebody into something that you want to have happen. That is a form of lying. That is a form of dishonesty. And it doesn't play and bode very nicely when it comes to romantic love. Astrology King has also mentioned, you know, finances might not be too great right now. Personally, I'm feeling that burden myself with all the responsibilities that I, you know, new responsibilities that I've had since my father's death. But also, you know, you're feeling more inclined to be lonely, possibly bitter, and not really attracting a lot of people in the love life. That latter part, I'm not so sure. I think you can still attract people, but I really think that feelings of bitterness might result from someone trying to coerce you into a relationship that you're really not wanting at this time. You know, you might be involved with somebody where they're not really playing the platonic vibe as much. What I recommend for this transit when it comes to Saturn conjunct Venus is really trust your, so again, we're in Pisces, you know, heavy Pisces, even though we're in Aries season, very heavy Pisces theme. So I say trust your gut on this one. Do what's right for you. If you feel like this person, you know, maybe like sit down with this person and have an honest chat and really like express how you feel. Like I really feel that you say that you want to be in a platonic relationship, but you're forcing me into a marriage, or you keep talking about marriage, or you keep, you know, forcing me to listen to marriage, or, you know, it's like you keep wanting to force me into marriage or something of that nature. Again, make sure that these are constructive I statements. What I just gave earlier was not a good example, but it's like, I feel that you're doing this, and kind of open up the floor to where the other person can kind of give in their two cents. If it's a situation where that person, yes, indeed, it's like, hey, I want to get married, I want to have kids, feet flat on the floor, being really stubborn. Personally, I don't care how attractive this person is. The moment that they get, you know, as close to the archetype of Saturn being that of father time and not accepting change, you know, being very stubborn, not wanting to change, not wanting to go with the program, that's where that person's a little less desirable, a little less attractive to me. So, I mean, I would say reevaluate the relationship is what I would tell you. If the person is willing to kind of go with the flow, or if they're willing to, you know, kind of meet your demands, hold them accountable. You know, don't just take them at their word, because they'll probably tell you, oh, yeah, I'd like to be in a platonic relationship, but then they're going to try to coerce you into marriage, or they're going to try to coerce you into a deeper relationship, or, you know, start this, yeah, we're friends, but at a deeper level, which I also got when I was 14. And you need to make it clear. It's like, no, we are just friends. So start also executing those boundaries is also what's going to be necessary. And what I'm also kind of advocating is really, no, this is what I want. We are just friends. Period. If you like this, great. You can stay. If you don't, there's a door. Okay. But have a deep discussion with this person. See where they're willing to go. If they're saying that they're going to go with the program, you know, they're saying that they're going to be friends, they're going to be in a platonic relationship, then hold them accountable, you know, as to, you know, they need to, you know, act as though they're in a platonic relationship, not in a platonic relationship on a deeper level, you know, trying to, you know, force that, wheedle themselves into the situation. If for some reason there's an impasse, it might be time to let that person go. I don't care how attractive they are. That person's not acting of your better interests, and maybe it's time to let them go and let somebody else come along who will go along with the program. I think going along with the program, going along with what you desire is very important. You know, it's not only dishonest to deceive, you know, pretend, which is a form of also deception, but also not only is it dishonest, it's also not fair to you. And it's not fair to the relationship for somebody to just coerce, 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 coerce. So I think really more than anything, you might have to reevaluate. And I know that that's tricky. I know that can be hard, but just think about it in the end. Can you live with what you're going through? And I mean, really listen to yourself when you ask this question. If you're just saying yes, just to compromise and keep this person in your life, it's not going to be a good relationship going forward. You need to listen to, hey, does this feel right? Does this feel okay? And if at any point that answer is no, you need to reevaluate. And I think you need to step back, reevaluate, maybe get out of the relationship, not even maybe, get out of the relationship and just take it from there in that regard. So that's like one bit of bad news for the season. We might be seeing more, well, along with Mercury retrograde, we might be seeing more of people trying to like force their affections onto somebody else. Possibly, you know, if that person just kind of smiles and goes along with it, that could cause some bitterness for them. If not, it could just cause some bitterness in general. But just kind of think about it. With every bit of bitterness, there comes something that's sweet in the long term. And you'll find something, you know, with every broken heart, the broken heart bounces back 50 times stronger. So you'll find somebody who's far more in line with what you need. And you're not, don't feel like you're throwing away the only person that you can love, because that is so not true. Somebody who truly and genuinely loves you does not pull coercion or deception, or does not feel like they have to use, you know, tricks out of a gaslighting bag to get you. The person who really truly cares about you is really truly doing what you want them to do, or really truly in line with what you need and in line with what you want. And it's better to get that person than the sneaky little creep who's acting like a real jerk in this situation. Last but never least is also Mars's current position, which is also 0 degrees Pisces. I'm going to just say this for the record, stargazers, to be quite frank with you. This is a very interesting position for Mars. First and foremost, I don't think it's one of the best positions, because the planet of fire is in a water sign. So I wouldn't be surprised if a lot of people feel like their drive, their motivation is just not there. And it's really hard to not only get motivated, but to stay motivated. This might be a predominance in the workplace. I've personally have been seeing this both within myself as well as within coworkers, bosses and coworkers. That it's just been really hard to stay driven and motivated within your workload as is. But also within the relationship setting, you know, kind of staying motivated in, you know, like if you're still single, you're out in the dating scene, you're pursuing many people. And I know this is going to sound contradictory from the sun, but you might feel like a slowness in motivation or a slowness in acting. And again, that's where the, you know, Aries season is going to help you, you know, like meditating on the Aries season, especially, or keeping it in mind, is going to help you motivate you to move forward a little bit, to budge a bit, but your motivation and your energy might be a little low because of Mars being in Pisces. The good news is our drive is mainly centered around, you know, kind of like Aquarius, like last month when Mars was in Aquarius, where it was more focused on philanthropy within Aquarius. I think with Mars, it's going to be more focused on being more compassionate, or, you know, really just kind of being, you know, listening to people more, or considering different perspectives more. I know that's been pretty much the case with me. I've been wanting to dive into different cultures and learn about different cultures and learn about, you know, just everyone around me, and really kind of see the world for what it is. It's very similar to Sagittarius energy for me, personally. I think though with Piscean energy, it's like how to not only understand others, but also how to empathize and how to understand these struggles and how to understand what's causing dismay and what's causing disgust or what's causing inequality as well too, and maybe getting into the underbelly of that and trying, like, maybe uprooting injustice or uprooting prejudice or uprooting the ills that cause a lot of the problems in society, and maybe not only understand them better, but also or try to eradicate them is really, I think, where Pisces would be at in this regard. You know, it's not just showing compassion, but I think also understanding everybody around you in full. I think in relationships, really understanding your partner in full. When you're with your partner, understanding that person in full, really listening in to that person and seeing where they're coming from, seeing their perspectives, and really gaining more a worldview, you know, piecing together a worldview. Maybe you might go through a paradigm shift within this time, within relationships, but I kind of see these things playing out with Mars in Pisces. For the sun, it is squared Pluto. So the sun being in Aries right now, where we're all kind of motivated to go for our goals. I think a lot of people are also feeling that they're really in their power, very much indicated by that square with Pluto. So again, what I would just recommend, how to best direct this energy, try directing the energy, you know, like your sense of power and your sense of purpose. Try directing it to a positive goal instead of trying to overrule somebody, which I've had with someone just recently. You know, instead of trying to overrule somebody or dominate somebody by offending that person or by striking that person or, you know, trying to dominate that person, try flipping it over and maybe direct it towards a good cause. You know, like towards a good political cause that will bring positive change into the world. Now, I'm not talking about loading up on guns and going to a public building and shooting people up. No, I'm talking about, you know, like say that you're in, you're kind of inspired by the economy right now. You know, what are some positive things that you can do in your everyday to improve the economy? That's where your sense of purpose and power can go. Or volunteering for a good cause. Maybe getting involved in a philanthropic cause as well too, that might, you know, help with overseas issues, in the world. These are some things that might help with the power struggles that are occurring with the sun, squared Pluto. So the last transit for this week, but never ever least, of course, is Uranus conjunct Jupiter in Taurus. Now, I did cover Jupiter conjunct Uranus, you know, for individuals who are natives and have this aspect in their chart. Definitely, I encourage you to take a listen to that particular episode. But for this case, when it comes to this month, everyone, I think with Uranus and Jupiter and Taurus, what it really means for us at this time, you know, even in relationships, I think we're all rising up to a cause. You know, again, Jupiter conjunct Uranus is always damn the man, you know, being very lenient and being willing to go with the flow for others, but don't, you know, don't try to imprison me or I'll rise up and rebel against you, the usual common themes with Jupiter conjunct Uranus. I think, though, everyone's kind of rising up to a cause right now. And one thing I would just say is make sure those causes are still peaceful and that they're really kind of doing something that's beneficial in the long term. I know, you know, like right now, I think Jupiter and Uranus being in Taurus right now, it's kind of a perfect transit, knowing that we're in a presidential year. So everyone's kind of on their own cause and on their own journey, which could disrepair a relationship or which could kind of make the relationship a little tense. So what I would just say when it comes to those causes is, like, you know, try doing something in the everyday that could help. You know, don't just rely on a political candidate or don't just rely on politics to resolve everything for you. Try to do something in the everyday to help that cause and to help that issue move to fruition and move to success, so that you kind of feel like you have more power in the situation as well too. And then I would just say, definitely a lot of forward thinking that's going on within relationships as well too. Thinking a lot about the future, thinking a lot about what to do for the future in regards to the relationship. And, again, I think with this transit, again, doing things in the present that could help those future concerns move forward within that relationship. Well, stargazers, this is what I do have for the chart of the moment. I do hope that was helpful in explaining some things for you guys when it comes to relationships. I do want to mention I have upgraded my Patreon page. So now when you do become a patron for as little as $2 a month, you guys will get a very chart of the moment for your own sun sign delivered to your inbox via email every month. So that is the package that is going on with the membership. Definitely go on to patreon.com/7thHouseAstrology and check it out. But above all, stargazers, do not be afraid to look up at the stars, our origins of astrology. And I can't emphasize this enough, with Mercury being in retrograde in Aries, definitely be careful out there. Be safe. Be well. Between now and next week, stargazers, I will talk with you then.